Blog Talk Radio.
This is awesome. Good morning. I love that song, man. You
got to
pick up, man.
It's not safe for work.
Oh, man.
I'll have to find an instrumental to play. But I do love that song. Wow. Well, I got some craziness going on. All right. So, good morning to you all out there. Happy Wednesday.
Oh. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday. Okay. I
must put down the rice cake. I can't crunch in people's ears. All right.
Ah, good morning, Casey Webb, girl. Where you been, girl? We missed you.
Welcome back.
She says the first time in a long time she's had time to listen to the show. Oh, well, we hope.
We missed you.
We hope that you've been gone because you got your dream job in the game industry, Casey Webb,
that
girl.
Yes. You got to let us know.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ooh. You know what? I'm all hyper, and this was before I had the coffee.
That is no good. No good.
Oh, this is very good. Somebody getting hurt today. Okay. In a good way.
All right. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I got three juicy stories, so I'll let you go first today. Go ahead, Ginger.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. This is really all that juicy, but it's something that people should know about. GamePolitics.com. CISPA isn't SOPA, but it is vague and scary. CISPA, the Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act, is something that opponents of SOPA, PIPA, and ACTA should be paying attention to. While the goal of the bill purports to be about cybersecurity, the bill contains vague language that allows companies to spy on internet users and collect and share this data with third-party companies or government agencies. The loophole for companies is that they can simply say that violating users' privacy rights were necessary to protect against cybersecurity threats to gain immunity from civil and criminal liabilities. Oh, I don't like this. All right, there was some kind of weird little gnat calling on my glasses.
What
that was weird.
You and the bugs.
I was just outside, so yeah. Legal experts have warned that the next phase of the copyright bill is to use important issues as cover. While CISPA is not anything like SOPA or other bills hated by most everyone on the internet, it does seem to directly target individual internet subscribers who might also be copyright infringers. While the definition of a cybersecurity threat might be rather vague, intellectual property is mentioned in the bill. CISPA defines a cybersecurity purpose as a system designed or employed to protect the system or network from theft or misappropriation of intellectual property. Oh boy, sounds like we've got another one that they're trying to sneak by. The EFF is sounding alarm bells about this new bill, saying that there is no restrictions on what data companies can collect. There are almost no restrictions on what can be collected and how it can be used, provided a company can claim it was motivated by cybersecurity purposes, the EFF writes. That means a company like Google, Facebook, Twitter, or AT&T can intercept emails and text messages, send copies to one another and to the government, and modify those communications or prevent them from reaching their destination if it fits into their plan to stop cybersecurity threats.
No.
Yeah. Well, so far, CISPA has support from over 100 lawmakers in Congress, trade groups such as the BSA and U.S. Chambers of Commerce, and technology firms like Facebook, Microsoft, and Verizon.
Mm-mm.
All right, you people are going to tick me off this morning. I am not allowed to cuss on air. This is really hard for me. You have no idea.
Oh, my God.
Would you stop trying to steal my midget porn? Come on. Stop it. Not for you.
Ginger.
Yes.
It's okay.
It's not okay. They're trying to spy and they're trying to steal all our stuff. And no.
Okay, well, maybe this will help.
Leroy Jenkins!
This Monday. Get your hump on, baby.
Horace said that's BS. And Casey Webgirl said she did get her dream job. And we said congrats on Twitter, but we'll say it again.
Yay!
Yes, yes! Digital congrats. Marketing, pop cultures, technology, and education. Woo! Yay,
that's so awesome. Way to go, Casey.
We are proud of you. Go, girl. Go get them.
Yes.
All right, so.
A double helping of Mountain Dew, because I don't want it.
You have to drink Mountain Dew, Ginger, even if you don't like it. Do you know why?
Uh-oh.
It keeps you awake to game.
No, I've got sweet tea.
Sweet tea? No.
I've got caffeine. I've got sugar. I'm good.
No, no. This is good. Anyway. All right. So, I got to say, I'm a sometimes fan, sometimes not fan of Hillary Clinton. Of course, you all know we kind of declared war on her when she was running for office. The first video was dropped, and then I went ahead and voted for her. No, I did not vote for Barack originally. He had to win me over. I was like, who the hell is this guy? His smile is too big. I don't like him. But anyway, Hillary yesterday showed us just how cool she is and why some of us love her so much. Miss Hillary Clinton, or rather, let me back it up. Mr. Adam Smith, who created a Tumblr account called Text from Hillary, the account has gone viral with his friend, of course, who helped him create it, named Stacey Lamb. Both are communications professionals in Washington, D.C., and spoke with Politico after they got a chance to meet Miss Clinton. Yes. And they said it was great. She came out. She was all smiles. She told us how much she likes the site and that people have been telling her all about it. She thinks it's just great. So to make matters even more fun and happy for them, she went ahead and submitted to her Tumblr account pictures of herself along with the two of them. And she even autographed a copy of her creation writing, Adam, thanks for the many lulls, and signed it, Hillary Hills. Is that woman cool or what? Ginger, you're muted.
I'm all muted. That is so flippin' cool.
What's that other chick? Y'all know who I'm talking about, the one from Alaska. Is going, you going to try to run against Hillary Hill?
Oh, God.
It's not going to happen.
Please, please, please. Yeah, that chick needs to just stop. All right? No.
Had
enough with your, like, four kids and your daughter's four kids and her umpteen baby daddies. So just, stop. All right? We don't need you in office.
Anyway,
you can't even keep a rein on your own family. How the hell are you going to keep a rein on the nation?
Thank you. All right. That one was short. Do you mind, Ginger? Because I got to get this juicy out.
Right on the head.
Maxim, I need you all to lean real close to your speakers. Okay? Come really close. Come close. The hell is wrong with you, Maxim? Maxim is doing this gamer girl contest. One Mr. Will Luton, who actually is over from GamesIndustry.biz, says he's very disappointed with the competition. We have to agree with him. This is one competition that's supposedly getting a lot of notice, rising up in ranks to the industry as competitive gaming is what they're saying is tough. It takes hard work and dedication. One of the hopefuls, whose name is Katrina, has a game and marketing promotions background and is a second year of graphics and animation degree. She's trying to break into concept art and also as a creative director. Yay, yay, yay. We're going to talk about this tomorrow night, but here's where my issue is. You all are perpetuating the same stereotype that shows like this and several other female gamer sites are fighting against. Now, I know we're a female gamer site, and the only reason that we exist is because you do stupid contests like this. We do not want to necessarily be separated. Why are you not having a Maxim Gamer Guy competition? If you're not going to have both, then stop it. Site, of course, is just like all the others that have come before it. I thought these had died out years ago. Honestly, the last one I think we saw was in 2007. The site is really tawdry. It has rows upon rows of scantily clad women, bikinis, underwear, all sprawled across things. Really, Maxim?
Wow. That just makes my head want to burst.
The other issue is that they're trying to say how they have values. They're saying they want this person to be an employee of our industry. She's supposed to be a spokeswoman, but she should also conform to the notion of beauty and be sexually desirable, ostensibly young to young heterosexual men for them to gain employment. Really?
What?
Yeah. So,
I need a link to this article.
So, the Mr. Will Luton, of course, he says, it's funny, Cosmo's not holding Cosmo's arm with him, you know, guys all muscled out and licking Xbox controllers. And, yeah, you guys need to stop this, Maxim. I understand.
No kidding, because you know what ticks me off the most is that for most gamer guys that I've talked to, these little bimbos that they're putting up on their magazines aren't what these guys want at all.
No.
And
I want to be clear. Some of these girls probably are really, really passionate about the gaming industry.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm gonna say a name here. Hopefully this will help her. Faith is one of the people I got to meet recently, and she works for Rooster Teeth in Austin. And honestly, if you look at her, if you don't speak to her, you probably come up with all these misconceptions. Her, one of our former alum, Chris, I'm sorry, I can't remember your last name. I just remember your gamer tag. Batgirl was one of the original girls from Gamer Girls Radio. Also, very beautiful, tall, blonde, big boob. And to look at them, they obviously fit a stereotype of what, you know, men like. But very smart, both of them. Very intelligent, very much love the industry, very passionate. The problem is that when you have contests like this, it perpetuates the stereotype of the dumb blonde, and they have to be look a certain way to get into the industry.
Yeah.
This is where the issue lies. I don't want to say these girls are not smart and they're not gamers, but what does a bikini have to do with showing off their talents? If you're going to do
it doesn't.
Yeah.
At all.
If you're going to do something like this, find a different way. They don't need bikinis. At least, you
know. It does. It makes it so much harder for the rest of us girls who are trying to be taken serious in the gaming world. What we do, we are rare. And we have to have thick skin because we do. We hear it a lot. You know, you have to look like this. You have to act like this. You have to be this age. Da 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 da. That's not right. You see these other guys with these podcasts and these shows and these websites, and they are ugly as hell. No offense. Some of y'all are cute.
Some of y'all.
Y'all aren't.
But one of the girls here is named Emily Knox, who said you chicks, I think. She's a setup assistant. She says what she finds most troubling in the case of the woman that's mentioned in the article is that finding the job in the games industry is already hard work. There's not a fast track. Becoming the Maxim Gamer Girl carries the same credentials to the game developers as becoming the Maxim Science Girl does to science. Nothing. It has no added street cred. Maxim, if you wanted to do something, then take these girls. It says she has a degree in animation. Why don't you say Maxim's Gamer Girl? We're not even going to show you a face. Let me show you what she can do. She can do, you know, we said we need an animation of Mickey Mouse breakdancing with the Kinect, and we told her you had 5 hours to create it. Let's see what she can do. Then when you say Maxim Gamer Girl, it carries some cred. We go, we know this person. We saw, you know, what was going on in the competition. If you got picked for this with all the things they put you through, you are a bad bitch. You deserve this title. You deserve to have a job somewhere. This here, all this shows is that they look good in a bikini. And I tell y'all that anybody can do this either with normal genetics or a whole lot of surgery. This is not special. But brains cannot be, you know, you can't go buy brains. You have to have them.
No.
You don't. Or you work at Walmart. No offense to anybody working at Walmart jobs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to have brains to be
in. Oh, my God. She's totally just.
Okay, that's my rant for the morning. Talking about this Thursday night, I know some of you are outraged on Twitter. Some of you are outraged on Twitter. Horace is all caps. You know he's mad. Oh, he didn't even do a hashtag. You know he's mad when he don't add the hashtag. But so yeah. Thursday night is going down. This particular topic is going to be one of our top ones. And good morning to you, Joe. Thank you for bringing the coffee. I've already had too much, though.
All right, so what have we got? Another fight. GameStop sets a California youth game class action lawsuit. Law firm Barron & Budd has reached a settlement agreement with GameStop over DLC. The firm filed a class action lawsuit against the video game retailer over DLC and labeling related to used games. In the United States District Court of Northern District of California, Senior District Judge Thelton E. Henderson entered an order approving a class action settlement Barron and Budd reached with GameStop. The settlement concerned used video games sold by retailer to consumers who are unable to access certain downloadable content and online features DLC, unless they pay an additional $15, even though the video game packaging claims that the DLC is free with purchase of the game. Oh, so congested. All right, so under the terms of settlement...
We lost you. I was like, oh, no!
No, I'm still here. I'm just trying to breathe. Under the terms of the settlement, GameStop must post signs on shelves where used games are sold in California stores and online, warning customers that certain downloadable content may require an additional purchase. The company must do this for the next 2 years. Consumers will also have the opportunity to recover the additional $15 they would have been required to pay access to the downloadable content. Consumers who purchase qualifying used games and who are enrolled in GameStop's PowerUp Rewards customer loyalty program can receive a $10 check and a $5 coupon. Consumers who purchased a qualifying game but are not members of the GameStop's loyalty program can receive a $5 check and a $10 coupon. Mark Pifko, Baron & Butt attorney and counsel, says they are pleased with the lawsuits. The in-store warnings and online warnings are an important benefit under the settlement. According to the law, According to the lawsuit, GameStop purchases used video games for consumers for only a fraction of the original price and then sells them to the consumer at a marked-up price, usually around $5 or less than the price of a new game to maximize their profits. That's not cool, people. All right, GameStop, I don't like you anyway, so, yeah, just boo on you, okay? Just boo.
Play and trade, we're looking at you.
GameStop makes more than $2 billion a year on using any royalties to video game publishers or developers.
Well.
Yeah, I don't like you, GameStop. I'm sticking my tongue out at you, and I'm flashing you a bird.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
That's hurtful. Well, those of you who are using Google Plus may already be seeing this, which is the new look for spring. Google Plus is wearing some new stuff. Let me tell you about it. This is supposed to be a new, more flexible, more functional version of Google Plus. This is a quote directly from Google Senior VP Vic Gundotra on his own Google Plus page. According to VidBeat, he's saying, you'll find it easier to use and nicer to look at. But most importantly, it accelerates our efforts to create a simpler, more beautiful, more utopian Google. Okay, I added the utopian part. Google has bet the entire company on social, for better or for worse, so there it's not going anywhere, with Google Plus tying in other services like YouTube and Docs, which I do like. In a recent company update, CEO Larry Page said Google Plus had more than 100 million active users at present, a sign that the strategy is working. Of course, one caveat is how the company defines active. If a person accidentally finds themselves on Google Plus once a month, which is easy to do, actually, are they really an active user? Tough questions aside, the redesign appears to give those who use Google Plus on purpose some handy new features and better visuals. First off, you will notice on your left side that there is a new customizable navigation bar that lets you drag your apps up or down to create the best order for accessing content. Damn, I wish Facebook had this. When I want a game, I don't want all the games I signed up for. I want the ones I play. You can even hide apps and move them in and out of the More panel. Next up, the redesign gives users bigger photos and videos that you can so you can see content in more detail without putting it in lightbox mode. Also new to the stream is an activity drawer that highlights the members of the community you might like and topics that are trending, like on Twitter. For those of you who use Google, for those of you who use Google Plus mostly for the awesome Hangouts video chat feature, which I have not tried yet, but I'm anxious to try with these knuckleheads here, but we never can be all online at the same time. there's news for you too. Google has now added a dedicated homepage that shows Hangouts that are happening in your circles. You also get easy access to public Hangouts if you ever feel like being that creepy girl or guy who drops in on someone else's conversation, which we like to do because we like to look for news. So if you're talking about something you ain't got no business, you better shut up when we come in. Finally, there's a new Explore page that you can access from the left-hand navigation bar. This page will make it easier to find fresh content when your friends and connections are putting it up, you know, for the days when it feels like a ghost town, when you miss all your gingers and snows and stuff. So the rollout appears to be moving slowly, so many folks on Google Plus are still waiting for the redesign to go live, but Google expects all users to get the new digs in the next few days, and it is quite pretty. I do like it. I don't have mine yet. I don't think I do, but I'm able to see some screenshots they have up over on Google. If you go over to Google, you should be able to see them. Very nice. I always did like Google Plus. I just don't get over as often because a lot of the people we talk to are still, you know, on Facebook, but...
Yes, exactly. More of you people moved, I will go over there too. But until then, no, I'm sticking with Facebook.
But it is nice. Did you know, those of you who wanted to try the Angry Birds space, it's free if you play it on Google+. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's still not getting me over there.
Ginger, go play.
No, I refuse. No, 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 I'm not.
What,
no.
You bang the birthday, I play WoW with you for 10 minutes.
For 10 minutes.
That's all I can stomach.
I haven't been playing WoW in forever, so yeah, no.
Like my stomach started doing a lazy roll as I said, WoW, we can't do it, don't.
Can't do it. Can't. Sorry, can't.
Oh, my tummy hurt when I said it. Oh, stop.
Aww. All right, the BBB blog EA may have falsely advertised endings in Mass Effect 3.
Yeah, saw that. That's not good.
Yeah, all right, so a post over at the Better Business Bureau blog by Marjorie Stevens contends that EA may have committed false advertising when it was promoting Mass Effect 3. The author of the post says that when EA talked about how the game's ending would work, they may have described how it would... They may have described how... it in a way that was, who wrote this? All right. They may have described how it would work in a way that was misleading to the consumers. Right. Marjorie Stevens, then listing two examples from EA on the ending, says, experience the beginning, middle, and end of an emotional story, unlike any other, where the decisions you make completely shape your experience and outcome. Along the way, your choices drive powerful outcomes, including relationships with key characters, the fate of entire civilizations, and even radically different ending scenarios. She ends by drawing a conclusion on whether or not EA actually engaged in false or deceptive advertising. The issue at stake here is, did BioWare falsely advertise? Technically, yes, they did. In the first bullet point, where it states the decisions you make completely shape your experience, there is no indecision in that statement. It is an absolute. The next statement is not so absolute. It states your choices drive powerful outcomes. A consumer would have to very carefully analyze the statement to come to a conclusion that the game's outcome is not wholly determined by one's choices. This statement, though, is subject to interpretation. Also, this is just a small example of their advertising and does not take into account anything that might have been said as far as their public relations and other advertising campaigns. Stephen goes on to offer companies a handy link on the BBB's code on advertising, which I'm not going to give you. I'm going to make you go over to GamePolitics.com and get it because it's really long. Noting that the lesson to be learned in this particular situation is that companies need to give careful consideration to how they word their advertisement. You know what I think we need to give careful consideration to? Stupid lawsuits. Really? You're going to sue over a game because you didn't get the ending you wanted. I'm sorry, Da Vinci, I don't like that painting. Or that experiment. Or this, that, or the other. Come on! Ugh. And Corey's muted.
Yeah, I'm talking. I'm laughing. I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry, Michelangelo. This is King Chapel. It's just not all we thought it was going to be. We're just going to need you to repaint that we like. Anyway.
Exactly. No, I'm sorry. So, yeah, no.
People, y'all need to get over it, really. All right.
I do.
Speaking of more lawsuits, the DOJ, Department of Justice, for those of you who have no idea what that is, has officially filed an antitrust lawsuit against Apple and a handful of major book publishers, including Hachette, HarperCollins, Macmillan, and Penguin. I know you've heard of the last two. The DOJ is charging the companies for anti-competitive practices regarding the pricing and sales of e-books. Last year, Apple switched its price structure with publishers to an agency model, which allowed those publishers to set their own prices on ebooks while giving Apple a standard cut of the revenue. According to VentureBeat, the portion of the deal in question states that ebooks sold through iTunes to the iTunes store cannot be sold at a lower price anywhere else on the internet. Now, that's a pretty good move for Apple because it means that ebooks listed in iTunes cannot be undersold. However, it also creates higher prices for consumers and full competition. The DOJ is said to have reached an accord with Simon & Schuster, Hachette and HarperCollins to settle allegations that they conspired with Apple Inc. to set the price of digital books, according to a Bloomberg report that cites unnamed people familiar with the matter. The DOJ has been investigating the matter since last year, and last month even warned all the companies involved that an antitrust suit would happen if things didn't change. The outcome of the DOJ lawsuit could mean cheaper prices on ebooks for consumers from the publishers involved. It could also mean lower revenues for publishers as well as book authors, which is bad.
Totally bad.
But this is one of those things where nothing could be done.
Yeah.
That's why you self-publish on Amazon.com and just stay away from Apple. See, you just don't get in any trouble.
Yeah.
far as I know, Amazon lets you set whatever price you set, and that's that.
That is kind of cool. All right, what have I got? Audio Guide Loop Nintendo 3DS deploying today at the world's most popular art museum.
Ooh.
This is kind of neat.
Pretty.
Uh-huh. Nintendo has begun providing the Louvre Art System in Paris, France, with Nintendo 3DS systems that offer an exclusive audio guide. The audio guide Louvre Nintendo 3DS will become available at the Louvre for visitors beginning today. The audio guide will provide audio and visual tools to the 8.9 million annual visitors, which will help them learn more about all the exhibits on display. Using 3D images and animation, the guide includes an interactive map that allows visitors to see exactly where they are in the museum, along with over 700 commentaries on the works of art. The audio commentary was created by the museum's curators and lecturers. Nintendo UK has a rundown of some of the other key features offered by the program, which you can find, again, over on GamePolitics.com. Mr. Barbaret, Managing Director of the Louvre, says, I'm particularly pleased with that our partnership with Nintendo has taken this new form today, thanks to the new multimedia audio guide on the Nintendo 3DS system. Through this partnership, we wanted to bring together heritage and the innovative world of interactive entertainment through a system many people are already familiar with. We feel that Nintendo 3DS is perfect to achieve this goal. Nintendo has brought over 35 years of experience in games and game console development, and we believe that the new audio guide is a valuable tool that will help visiting the Louvre a more dynamic and rewarding experience, particularly for those that are not so familiar with a museum environment. I think this is kind of cool.
That's very, very nice.
Yes. Yes. I mean, not that the little, you know, Walkmans weren't nice, but to have the images and be able to see the different comments and read things, I think that is very neat.
What YouTube is saying,
what? You pay.
That's right.
Uh-oh, pay for what?
YouTube, don't you do it. Don't you do it. According to Mr. Tom Sheridan, he's quite cute, by the way, they're going to cut me. YouTube is helping live video creators make money by being able to charge people for access to or placing ads within the stream. The site announced this on its publisher's blog today, which might be good for us in a odd way. I don't really know yet. We'll figure out something. Essentially, this makes YouTube a pay-per-view service for the streaming video world. Satellite and cable TV subscribers already have a similar service, which allows them to view a live event like WrestleMania, UFC championship matchups, boxing matches, etc.
Seriously, people, why are y'all watching that crap?
Or the Maxim Gamer Girl competition. For a one-time price that's determined by the company putting on the event. Now YouTube's handful of eligible content partners can do this for their own events. Producers of live events that wouldn't need a pay-per-view feature, such as Marvel's The Avengers red carpet premiere, can also monetize through advertising if they choose. The new monetization option comes a year after YouTube launched live video functionality for some of its content partners through YouTube Live. And until now, most of the bigger entertainment and sports companies weren't able to get much use out of the service since there wasn't a way to make money. Considering that other sites like Ustream TV have been offering pay-per-view advertising options to its producers for years, it's a bit odd that YouTube waited so long to enable it. In addition to the monetization options, however, YouTube is also giving its producers a few new tools. The site has added real-time analytics, a new publishing preview, Flow View, and free Wirecast software, which allows you to produce and stream professional-looking live events directly to YouTube from your desktop. Now, what I like about this is we'll be using this when we go to our next event and adding more live functionality. Remember I told you we do our live interviews, or you guys request it. So you want to set an event. It's
awesome.
So we will definitely be using this. So you guys make sure when we tell you next time to go check out our channel and we're at wherever we are, E3 PAX, you tell us what you want us to do and we're going to walk right over and go do it live. There will be none of this setup, stage business, and people with makeup. You get to see us looking all tore up because you are when you're at an event because you're tired. So you'll be like, damn, great. Put some makeup on. Did you comb your hair? I don't think you brushed your teeth this morning. I sure didn't. But what you want me to tell you about? What you want to know? Want me to go up here? Because we all in it for the game. Okay, anyway.
Anyways. All right, what do we got? I just lost what I had. AllOut.org thanks EA for same-sex relationships and its games with online petition.
That's right. Give a link to that when you're done. So we can all go.
I will totally give you a link to that when we're done. AllOut.org, an online advocacy group representing the LGBT community, issued a press release last week announcing an online petition with over 60,000 signatures supporting Electronic Arts and BioWare's inclusion of same-sex relationships in its games. Last week, EA responded to a flood of letters and emails from two family advocacy groups haranguing them for exposing children to same-sex relationships in games like Mass Effect 3 and Star Wars The Old Republic and accused them of giving into pressure from LGBT advocacy groups. EA strongly denied that charge, simply saying that the decision to include content in mature-rated games is their prerogative as game creators. In a press release issued Friday, headlined AllOut.org thanks Electronic Arts EA for standing up for LGBT youth visibility. The group thanked EA for its support and said that it had helped support an online petition expressing gratitude to the company for its efforts. It says Electronic Arts customers are speaking out loud and clear. Being for equality is good for business, says Andrea Banks, executive director for AllOut.org.
Damn straight.
Mm-hmm. Groups like the Family Research Council are truly on the dark side. They put pressure on companies like EA to block fair, balanced portrayals of gay characters in gaming and other media. You don't have to be a gamer to understand that it makes a real difference for Electronic Arts to present positive portrayals of gays and lesbians to its community of 100 million plus players. Banks also added, we are not arguing that Electronic Arts is a perfect company, but we know today on this issue they are taking an important stand that should be celebrated and supported. I agree. AllOut.org has temporarily disabled the campaign page of its website due to a cyber attack by hackers.
Oh, come on,
you jerks. In the attack, hackers added roughly 3,000 comments and signatures onto the petition. AllOut.org is currently in the process of removing those signatures, but can verify that over 60,000 members have signed onto the petition and continue to urge Electronic Arts to stay away from the dark side. All right, hold up, back up. Maybe the hackers thought they were doing good. Don't do this though. This stance, this view needs to be taken seriously. And I understand, you know, some of you are very passionate and you want to help whichever way you can, including forging 3,000 to 5,000 comments and signatures, whatnot.
Yeah, but you need to do it right.
This has to be done right. Yes, this has to be done right if we're going to be taken serious.
And this is why an ID is going to be required for the internet, I'm telling y'all, so that you can't do stuff like this, because it'll be like, mm-mm.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, yes. Oh, all right. Mail.ru, our favorite company to mention, has unveiled a new feature for their Smash Online title, Legacy of Dragons. Now, April 17th. Against fellow warriors from the English, Polish, German, Spanish, Italian, and French servers in an all-out cross-realm war known as the Third War of the Worlds. That's right. Repping for your server means entering the newly unveiled Ancient Temple of the Chosen. You can meet warriors from different servers in the Arena of Underground Knights, the Crystalline Caves, and, of course, the Temple, where you will fight alongside or against new compatriots. Victors will be awarded points based on which match is completed, and only one server will be crowned, the True Dragons. Individual effort does not go unrecognized. Accrue 100 points on the battlefield and win up to 80,000 valor, which can be used to purchase rewards from their shop. The single warrior who receives the most points per server will also receive a coveted set of red weapons. There is extremely few of these available now, and only 6 will be rewarded during the Third War. Will you be the one to win them? Ooh. Pop over to waroftheDragons.com and tell them that we sent you. You know what I want? Why don't you give away some money?
Yes. Oh, my God. Give me some money. Hey, Jay, you still want to be my sugar daddy?
I think he quit you, Ginger. I know.
I think he quit me. How dare he quit me?
You know how they go. They get themselves a real-life girlfriend. They forget about you.
I know. I see how that is.
Mm.
So unloved. So totally unloved.
You want me to cut him?
Yes. Yes. To the white meat, please.
Sorry, Jay. Slish. Slish. It wasn't slice, it was slish.
Slish. Slish. And slish sounds painful.
It is.
All right. Ooh, a universal rating system.
Wait a minute. Ain't it be my turn? No, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
Game CNBC.com again. Seriously, they've got some great news. ESRB's Patricia Vance talks about a universal rating system.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And a freshly posted interview with Gamasutra, the ESRB's top executive, talks about making the voluntary rating systems used by the North American video game industry a universal rating system, mm-hmm. among various topics, including how to deal with getting consistent ratings on mobile and portable platforms such as Android and iOS devices. That would mean they'd actually have to start using ESRB stuff to get that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, and games that actually have to go through testing and all that other fun stuff. Yeah.
Well, and that's why you hire people and you say get to work.
Exactly. Hire me. Hire me. I will play all those horrible games.
We already do, so you might as well.
I have to do it anyway. So, yeah. Hire me. I'll play them and I'll tell you, you know, what the rating should be. Just, I'm going to need a rating that's called just bad. Okay? Just bad. Don't buy. Anyways, the most important part of the interview, in our estimation, is about a universal rating system, and if it is even possible, given that in some countries, the government controls how games are rated. Vance had to say about Vance a little bit about synchronizing ESRB ratings with the system HEGI. While I think that conceptually we're working, what conceptually we're working with is having one form where everybody agrees on the same set of questions. Yeah, Australia's never going to go for this, just saying. And that form creates a specific rating in each territory. So it wouldn't be the ESRB rating in Europe. If you're downloading that app or that game from a European distributor storefront, you'd get the PEGI rating. In the U.S. storefront, you'd get the ESRB rating. If you get it in Japan, you'd get the zero rating. So we'd be working with all of these rating bodies to create a system where we all agree on the same set of questions, but it's actually programmed to take into account differences in cultural norms and standards and to create marks that are recognizable in each of those territories. And a lot of them are government-operated, too, so it's important to be able to work within a regulatory framework as well. Of interest is what the ESRB thinks of Apple and Google sticking with their own rating systems for their mobile platforms. If you recall, last year, the ESRB announced a partnership with the Wireless Trade Association, CTIA, to create a rating system for mobile apps on various platforms. Unfortunately, the bulk of the apps sold are on Android and iOS devices. These systems remain under control of their respective owners. When asked about the importance of Google and Apple getting on board with the universal rating systems, Vance said, "I think it's important, but I think we need to develop global solutions that are appropriate for those types of storefronts, so that's why this is an important issue for us."
Mm-hmm.
I agree. I think we need something like this, but I don't see the whole world agreeing on this. I mean, this is why we've got Australia and them not allowing people to play, well, they're now going to, with the whole R18+ stuff, but... Yeah.
Uh-oh, Snow is awake. No, she's not on air with us, but she just tweeted.
No.
She told Horace, you can't roll with us. We're too leet.
Sorry, Snow.
Oh, man. Well, Treasures of Montezuma from Blitz is going to go free-to-play, and it's going to the PlayStation Vita. All of War Entertainment announced today that the release of Treasures of Montezuma Blitz is the first free-to-play game, maybe plea was the right word to say, for PlayStation Vita. You did make me stutter. I don't have my castanets. PS Vita can now download and play the game completely free with power-ups that can be earned in-game or purchased through the in-game store. Players of all skill levels can get everything out of Treasures of Montezuma Blitz for absolutely free. It's supposed to be the one game that every Vita owner should have on the bank, not just because it's free, but because it's really fun. That's what Dmitry Borkovitsky, I'm going to stop just talking, Borkovitsky, who's the VP of New Platforms at All of War Entertainment. We know All of War. This is the company, by the way, Ginger, that we had such a terrible rapport with.
Oh, no.
Blaster reviewed every one of their games, and every one of them he said was horrible. But you see, they still speak to us.
I played one of theirs recently, didn't I?
I think you did. I'm not sure, though. No, I think you played with the... Yeah, we'll talk later. Anyway.
Okay.
Mona's
Treasures of Montezuma Blitz is supposed to be a classic match-3 game set in the Aztec universe of Montezuma, such to offer fast-paced gameplay, fun level progression, and unlimited replayability as players beat their friends' scores on the leaderboards. Treasures of Montezuma Blitz is a revolutionary title, and again, the very first free-to-play game for PlayStation Vita owners. You can check it out, I'm pretty sure, at alowar.com. Yeah. And if anybody out there own a Vita, might want one. We don't have one. As you hear, I don't have any castanets in my hand, just my hands.
Yeah.
But at a Vita, I'd have castanets. It comes with castanets. At least I'm going to ask them to send me castanets.
All right, what have I got?
Y'all know that game sounds like a dance. Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about.
It does. It totally does. And the more I hear it, the more, yeah, that's going to be stuck in my head. I'm going to see just a little phone with little castanets and, like, a really pretty dress dancing around. Yeah,
that's right.
Oh, my God. All right, so Corey is crazy.
Yeah, of course I am.
I love you.
And?
Mario Kart Mayhem at the Museum of Computing. The classic Nintendo racing game Mario Kart will be 20 years old this year. Really?
Yes.
Holy crap. And to celebrate, the Museum of Computing in Swindon is holding a family gaming day on Saturday, the 14th of April. Mm-hmm. Visitors can try their hand at every Mario Kart console game in the series, all on the original Nintendo hardware from the SNES through the Nintendo 64, GameCube, Game Boy Advance, Wii, DS, and 3DS. This wacky racing game, which is recognized as one of the greatest game series of all time, is being celebrated with three exciting competitions, the Mario Kart Mayhem Challenge and the DS and 3DS multiplayer competitions. During the first competition, participants will play three Mario Kart titles to achieve their best total score, starting with the original Super Mario Kart on the Super Nintendo. The original with the highest score will be crowned the museum's Super Mario Kart Mayhem Champion. Participants of the DS and 3DS Multiplayer Championship are being asked to bring their own Nintendo DS or 3DS console to compete head-to-head on Mario Kart DS and Mario Kart 7. Three winners will have the chance to try karting for real thanks to Swindon F1 Karting and will receive winning trophies from Brightshire Media Management, the two sponsors of the event. That sounds awesome. All right, so the event runs from 9:30 to 1700 with the DS Challenge running from 10 o'clock to 12:30. And the 3DS Challenge from 1330 to 1600. If you want more information, I have this up on GameMatrix.com this morning, I think. But the link is museumofcomputing.org.uk. So head over and check that out.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm reading this whole thing on. If you're not following us on Twitter, but you listen to us daily, you really should follow all of us on Twitter. It's going to be at Ginger, GINGIRR, or at Snow White GDR, because there's always a whole conversation going on you're missing out on. If you just follow on just one of us, make sure you follow all of us. We always have something interesting on. So I'm going to throw some oil in and just step back. Let the fighting begin. All right. Apparently, Halo 4, Assassin's Creed 3 are the most anticipated games this year, according to Nielsen.
Really?
Yes. Nielsen's Game Rank survey shows major franchise titles like Halo 4, Assassin's Creed 3, Max Payne 3, Madden NFL 13 are the most anticipated games of this year. Nielsen measured the anticipation level of consumers in 8 consumer metrics, combined those with scores into a single number, and then measured those scores against games on the same platform to determine a percentile rank. Under Nielsen's game rank scheme, a percentile score of 98% would mean that a title will perform better than 98% of titles released on that platform during the same release window. Certain multi-platform titles are rated much higher on certain platforms, including a Medal of Honor, I love me some Medal of Honor. Good God. On PlayStation 3, Prototype 2 on PS3, Epic Mickey 2 on the Wii, Bash on the Wii, and Amazing Spider-Man on the Wii. All titles analyzed by Nielsen were announced prior to March 23rd, 2012, and are expected to ship before the end of this year. I'm going to give you a brief rundown because there's quite a few other games that are, well, it's not too bad, that are being anticipated this year. You got for this year on the 360, your Halo 4 being the top one, with Assassin's Creed being next, then Max Payne, Madden NFL 13, Resident Evil 6, then Ghost Recon Future Soldier, Fable The Journey, then Kinect Star Wars, and NCAA Football 13, Bioshock Infinite, and the last one for the Xbox is Tomb Raider. You also have on the PlayStation 3, you have your Assassin's Creed 3, Max Payne 3, NFL Madden, Resident Evil, Medal of Honor, the NCAA Football Prototype 2, Ghost Recon, Future Soldier, and Bioshock Infinite, Tomb Raider, and NBA Live 13 on PlayStation 3. You also have Madden NFL 13. Yes, Madden NFL 13. This is on the Wii. Madden NFL 13. I told you, people, you have to play Madden on the Wii for it to actually be fun. At least it is for me. You have Epic Mickey 2, The Power of 2, Battleship, Lego Batman 2, DC Super Heroes, Amazing Spider-Man, Men in Black, and The Last Story, and the Xenoblade Chronicles. Have you ever played any of the football games on the Wii, Ginger?
I have not.
You girls out there that say, I don't do sports games, play it on the Wii just once. The tackling feature with the Wiimote is just, I love it, because you have to actually tackle the person. You have to push the Wiimote like you're knocking them down.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm going to have to try that out, because...
And throwing the ball, I love playing quarterback when I'm playing on the Wii. But the rest of it, when I play it on the Xbox and the rest of it, it's kind of boring. It's tap button, tap, tap, tap. And for us, especially since we do the reviews so much, you start to pick up the game, you know, exactly. It's boring. But when you're actually having to physically move and play, and the tackling and the being the quarterback is the best part. And I'm telling you, I'm standing up and I'm waiting for, I'm chasing the guy. If I'm not mistaken, I haven't played it in a good while, but you used to have to do the running motion to chase down the receiver. And then when I'd catch him, you just throw your arms out like you're actually tackling him. And I'd go, you know, they're like, what are you doing in there? I'm knocking him down. Drop it. I'm sorry. I am a Southern girl. This is football country. Okay.
Yes. I'm not big on, like, college football or, you know, professional football, but you get me at, like, a high school football game? Oh, my God.
Man, high school football games are the best.
They are. There's so much just action and so much energy, and the crowd is just going crazy.
It's a whole different kind of energy when it's professional football at the high school, because it's all that community, and I love going. I haven't been to one.
Seriously, I don't go to professional games anymore. I went to a couple to see the Rangers, and I was so bored I fell asleep.
I've done that too.
But you go to these smaller ones, you know, the small times, and everybody is screaming and yelling and jumping and stomping and yes, I love it. And fighting, lots of fighting.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a fight. Somebody, you always see the popcorn go up in the air first.
Seriously, I kid you not. I lived in a town where we had two high schools, and they had to physically keep us separate for the hometown games when it was the two high schools going at it.
Honey, it's not just you. I'm
there was police and fencing and everything.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was nuts. Seriously.
There's always one or two high schools. Like I'm went to school in the Aldine district here in Houston, and it's the second largest.
You are breaking second, up.
Yeah, me. Am I better? But I want to say Aldine's the second largest school district in the state of Texas. In the
uh-huh.
I say, and there is a school. I went to Aldine. Yay, go Aldine! And it's MacArthur. And MacArthur, ironically, were all kids that I went to elementary school with, so I knew them. And then, you know, I have my high school mm-hmm. buddies. We had the biggest rivalry. We're talking stealing the mascot thing. And then stealing a mascot nowadays is not as easy as it might have been back in the day. People are, like, tweeting pictures, and they're like, oh, wait a minute, the four squares on. I know exactly where your horse is.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Fighting and business. Oh, man.
True story. Yeah, I went, well, I'll go ahead and put it out there. Cooper High School, Abilene High School, two
Woo!
Schools, same district.
Woo!
Very big 4A schools.
Yes, right.
Yeah, and
I think
I want to say 3 years out of my four in high school, we went to state and came in like second.
That's because we were not there.
Yeah, yep. All I got to say is Westlake, I still hate you.
Bring it.
Yeah, man, that brings back. All right, so. I know, football season is, you know, just right around the corner again, or at least, you know, it's going to be.
You know what? That's a good project for you amateur game developers out there. Why don't one of you create a high school football game? You don't have to even use real players. You can use the real high schools. That will be fun.
Yes. Oh, my God, yes.
I'd buy it.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't. I'd play the hell out of that.
All right. A portion of the proceeds should go back to the school. There you go. Bam!
Yes. Kickstarter.
Yes, yes, totally. General Shepard signs up again. VolkiPix introduces the sequel to one of its best successes, Saving Private Sheep 2. The war is over. After fierce combat, those damned wolves have gone back home with their tails between their legs. The sheep can graze once again with great delight and plenty of new wool. But let's not forget the foxes, those nasty creatures that have come to kidnap the poor innocent little sheep. Sheep are never innocent, just saying. Fortunately, General Shepard is there to defend down the sheepfold. Armed with a catapult and a hedgehog, the leading military figure in this entire flock dispatches a small commando team to restore peace in the pastures. Use your catapult, go from one sheep to the next, and knock those foxes flying. Avoid the obstacles in your path and watch out for the clumsy soldiers because the enemy is well hidden. You think it's easy then? Well, we'll soon see about that, pal. All right, so there is a teaser trailer up on GameNatrix.com this morning. Head over and check that out. This sounds hilarious.
Oh, I'm here. I'm sorry. We have a developer that is trying to get us some information about a new zombie outbreak simulator for iPad. So I'm asking him, can he give us more information? It's very short. So that's all I got was, this is a zombie outbreak simulator. Would you guys mention this? I'm mentioning it, but you got to give me some more information. And then we can tell all of our people about it. And, yeah, go ahead and send us some more information, guys, if you're listening. Okay. Said zombie. You said our favorite topic here. Zombie. We live. I don't know. Ginger, you know what? You're going to be on the zombie side. I don't think I like that.
Just, you know, shoot me.
You know what? But you know what? When we play Left 4 Dead multiplayer, I do love when I get to be the tank. Oh, man. But I'm a bad tank because I start screaming, I'm the tank! And then people, you know, people are running and stuff. But it's fun. Anyway, I forgot what I was going to talk about. I have too many window open. Too many window open. Oh, I know what I was going to tell you about. Mind Bloom. Remember Mind Bloom?
Yes.
Well, Aetna is apparently going to give away the Mind Bloom life game to their employees for free. And their customers for free, a premium version. The gesture is supposed to be aimed at driving healthy habits through the gamification of health. I like gamification of health. A Seattle-based Mind Bloom has created a game that helps us remember the important parts of life, having a healthy mind, body, and soul. In the game, you get reminders known as blooms that offer inspiration. I think my tree is dead. I forgot about my tree. They could include photos, videos, messages, and music, and your own voice. The giveaway is a big deal for Mind Bloom since Aetna has more than 36 million healthcare members. Hartford, Connecticut-based Aetna is like any other insurance company, promoting wellness so that people live longer and it won't have to pay out so much money for catastrophic health treatments. Or you could just go with Aflac, I'm just saying. It promotes health, but many people perceive such promotions as boring. So Mind Bloom gamifies health or makes it more fun by making it game-like. Via rewards, achievements, and sharing, you grow a virtual life tree and help friends and family maintain their own trees. The Mind Bloom life game blends the principle of behavioral science with social gaming to offer a fun way for people to live healthy, productive, and balanced lives. The premium Mind Bloom title includes all the benefits of the life access to an expanded gallery of images, and unlimited personal media storage. Aetna users will also have access to Mind Bloom's mobile app called Bloom, which has more than 250,000 downloads since its launch in November on the iTunes App Store. The app helps remind people of what's important while they're on the go. It reminds you to make healthy choices, stay connected with others, manage your stress, save money, advance your career, and enhance your creativity. Fantastic. The web game itself launched last year in September and has grown to more than 50,000 registered users. Some of us here are part of those. And Mind Bloom has currently raised $1.8 million from Seattle area angel investors. Nice, right?
That is totally nice. All right, can you hear me? All right, I'm here. Okay. Gakkai launches first ever cloud gaming Facebook app streaming console quality games to 400 million plus users. A VC-backed startup bridges social gaming and console quality gaming to large video game markets, increasing the reach of high-end video games over 50 times by making them instantly playable inside Facebook. That's kind of neat. All right, so Gakkai Incorporated, the innovative cloud gaming service, today launches the beta of its Facebook app, which will deliver high-end console-quality game experiences directly to consumers from inside the world's leading social network. by streaming their games through Gekai Video Game Publishers can now easily reach hundreds of millions of potential new players in North America and Europe. The beta will allow gamers to try out a selection of games for free. Who is this? David Perry, CEO of Gekai, says, "People don't want to leave Facebook to play games. Zynga's phenomenal success is proof of that. Cloud gaming means that the game doesn't need to be downloaded and run on your computer. It literally means the game runs out on the internet in the cloud, with the experience being streamed to the players. Most video game publishers are now seeking to grow their digital base." I'm hearing dings. All right, cool. Anyways, they're trying to grow their customer base, and unlike movie and music services like Netflix and Spotify, Gekai gives the game publisher relationships with the customer. All right, so what games are going to be on this? Looks like the first games we get to try in the beta version 1 launch are Saints Row the Third, Dead Rising 2 Off the Record, Magicka, Sniper Ghost Warrior, The Witcher 2, Assassins of Kings, Orcs Must Die, and Farming Simulator 2011. That is so awesome. All right, Kevin Kraft, Vice President of Global Brand Management at THQ, says, "Gekai's technology allows us to deliver our games to a wider audience. As content creators, it's not only paramount that we give our players great entertainment, but also that we give them a choice in how they access it. Streaming inside Facebook is not only revolutionary, but it's something that both new and existing players benefit from." This is so neat. All right, so what you're going to need, the Gekai Facebook app is currently available in North America and Europe. To play, you need to be in the Gekai coverage area with a broadband internet connection and Java installed. Gekai works on any PC or Mac using Windows, Mac OS, or Linux. Gekai works in all major browsers, including Internet Explorer, Chrome, Firefox, and Safari. There is a link, and I'm going to have it up on GameMatrix.com in just a little bit. So head over there and check that out.
You know what, Horace? What you just said, if you pay me, yeah, that's my translation. That is exactly right. Okay. Now you maybe want to play GTA. I'm getting a little, People, developers, we love when y'all send us stuff, but you can't just be like, here, do this. We need information, okay?
Yes, true story.
Information is good. So I'm going to share this one, of course, because our homie, Mr. Chicken, sent this over to us, and we always give her love. And besides that, Blaster is madly in love with that woman. I have to protect her. but she is gorgeous in her defense. She looks like a very young, looks like Vanessa Williams when Vanessa Williams was in her 20s. She's very pretty. But anyway, she's over working at HeroClix. I'm telling all her business. And HeroClix has released a new figure set, and they've announced Marvel's Galactic Guardians. Blah, 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 blah. The new figures from the collection include Nova, Silver Surfer, hands above the desk, guys, Gladiator, Quasar, Beta Ray Bill, and Ronan the Accuser, and can be used with all the other Marvel figures and maps currently in the game. For more information, you can go over to hco.heroclix.com. They also do updates and things on Facebook and Twitter, and tell them that we sent you because we love them over there.
Yes.
Wow.
That is.
The Silver Surfer one, hot. And Nova, love it. Got about 5 minutes left. That's why I went ahead and cut that really short. And hopefully we'll have some more information on this zombie outbreak simulator for you guys later. If they give it to us, wow, you people. So once we do, we'll let you know. And if we get some copies to give away, you all, we've been giving y'all copies of stuff and y'all act like y'all don't want it. Look, they'll tweet me and say, give it to me. I'm like, okay, well, which system do you need it for? I don't know.
You got to tell us. Yeah. Otherwise, you don't get it.
You don't want free games. I still got one copy of this Guinness World Records book from 2012, the Gamer Edition, available. No takers? Nobody out there wants it?
Come on, people. You got to take it. We've got some really cool stuff.
I got lots of cool stuff. Okay. Yeah. Now, with that being said, it is time for us to get out of here.
Yay!
We got to go. But we will see you guys tomorrow, bright and early in the morning, and also later on tomorrow night for our Thursday night show, where we will probably be going off about this Maxim business for serious.
Maxim, you jerks. You.
And of course, if you missed us last night on Pixelista and you love you some pixel fashion, go ahead and check that out on the Rewind on our Blog Talk Radio page.
We had such a great conversation, and you really do want to hear us talk about boobs, so head over there.
Yeah, we did. And the week before is also awesome. Designer Nevaeh Stardust. But we'll see you guys later.
No time for goodbye, he said. as he faded away. Don't put your life in someone's hands, they're bound to steal it away. Don't hide your mistakes, 'cause they'll find you, burn you. Then he said, don't you wanna get out alive?
Later, boys and girls.